Welcome to our fourth episode of Child Sexual Abuse Prevention by Xena podcast. I am your host, Xena Ponsell. Hey, everybody. As we bring April to an end, I'm tossing out one more friendly reminder that April is Child Abuse Awareness Month as well as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'm throwing these colors back out here again, as I did in the previous episodes, in regard to Child Abuse Awareness Month. The color teal represents sexual abuse, while the color blue represents child abuse. All forms of child abuse, physical, emotional, and sexual. The representation of those two colors together is what this podcast is all about. Child abuse and sexual abuse, making our main focus on child sexual abuse. Related topics will be popping up as well on future episodes. The cover photo of this podcast was designed with those two colors in mind. Go through your closets, wear your blue shirts the rest of this month, and honor our kids. If you're tuning in and it's a different month other than April, grab your blue shirt anyway and wear it. We need to honor our kids every month. In our previous episode, we touched on the do's and don'ts when questioning a child about possible sexual abuse physical indicators, which I know I didn't provide many questions for you to ask to your child. Today, I will go a little deeper into that conversation. Some of the content will be directly from the Darkness to Light Stewards of Children 2.0 training workbook. Okay. Going back to recognizing the signs, let's grab another example of sexual abuse indicators. Before I take off in that direction, I want to be super sure and toss this information to you. Any possible physical indicators of child sexual abuse needs to be checked out by a doctor. Some examples of physical signs, which are not common, may include bleeding, bruising, bumps, scabs, redness around the mouth, genitals, or anus, urinary tract infections or UTIs, sexually transmitted diseases, and abnormal vaginal or penile discharge are also potential signs of child sexual abuse. Now, you know as well as I do, some of our littles will get diaper rashes and can have other injuries or illnesses for various reasons to their genital area that have nothing to do with child sexual abuse. Please get your kids checked out. So do you really know what happened? I mean, really? Take them to a doctor. Let a doctor help you figure out what the problem is. I'm going to read the following information straight from the Darkness to Light Stewards of Children 2.0 workbook, page 28. Here we go. And this is referencing possible physical signs. If you find physical signs that you suspect are sexual abuse, have the child examined immediately by a professional who specializes in child sexual abuse. The conviction of someone who has abused a child may depend on evidence from a professional forensic interview and a physical exam when necessary. Now, that part was out of the book. So you're probably saying to yourself, but I'm not sure if my child was sexually abused. What if I get someone in trouble? What if I'm wrong? Two things I want you to keep in your head. Number one, if your child is exhibiting physical indicators, your child needs medical attention, regardless, to heal the medical problem. Get them to a doctor. Have them checked out. You and your doctor can discuss what the possible indicators mean, maybe how they got there. Now, if your doctor feels your child's physical indicators warrant a more in-depth medical exam, and doctors are mandated reporters, I know they are in the United States, and they are required also to contact authorities, law enforcement, and or Department of Family and Children Services, which are commonly called DFACs. Generally, you would be asked to take your child to a child advocacy center, which is a place for children with a child-friendly environment that provides child forensic interviews and pediatric forensic medical exams by a SANE, and that's S-A-N-E, nurse. The acronym SANE stands for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. These are highly trained professionals who work with children on a daily basis with allegations of child sexual abuse for children of all ages. Generally, a forensic interview and or forensic medical exam can only be performed at the request of law enforcement or DFACs. Now, keep that in mind, because if you had gone to your regular physician, what they would do then would be to contact law enforcement or DFACs and make that report, and then law enforcement or DFACs would connect with the Child Advocacy Center and get the forensic medical exam lined up, as well as possibly a forensic interview. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a lot more about Child Advocacy Centers, also known as CACs, in future episodes. Please know, if your child is ever referred to a CAC, take some deep breaths. You'll be okay. Hang in there. They will take good care of you and your child and will answer any questions that they can. Making sure your child is safe, feels safe, and is medically well is their top priority. Do you remember when I said this earlier? You're probably saying to yourself, but I'm not sure if my child was sexually abused. What if I get someone in trouble? What if I'm wrong? Then I said there were two things I wanted you to keep in your head. The first one was basically get your child to a doctor to follow up on the possible physical indicators. Always get your child to a doctor and have this checked out. Well, here's the second one. Think about the what if questions you're asking yourself. My biggest question is, what if the child wasn't taken to the doctor to follow up on a physical indicator of sexual abuse? What if the physical indicator was swept under the rug? What if your child actually told you someone touched them in a way that made them feel uncomfortable? What if they told you it was a stranger that touched them? You would take them immediately to be checked out, wouldn't you? You would be calling the police right now. What if your child told you someone you knew, someone they knew, touched them inappropriately? Many of your thoughts have now gone to, my child must be mistaken. That person we all know so well would never do anything like that to my child. So, what if you never get those physical indicators of possible child sexual abuse checked out by a doctor? And because the signs were not looked into by a professional, here is the biggest what if. What if your child was, in fact, being sexually abused? And what if it continues because nothing was done? I ask you to please think about the what ifs regarding child sexual abuse. Please have those physical indicators looked into by a medical professional. Like I've mentioned before, physical indicators of child sexual abuse are not common. However, it doesn't mean to ignore them. By ignoring the indicators of child sexual abuse, you are not protecting your child to the best of your ability. It may be absolutely nothing, however. What if it's not? You may end up unknowingly be protecting many other children in addition to yours. Did you know other physical problems could also be an indicator of child sexual abuse? I mentioned this briefly in a previous episode, but I wanted to go a little deeper into the topic. When I say physical problems could also be indicators, I'm referring to issues like anxiety, chronic stomach pain, or headaches. And as you know, you cannot see those physical indicators like the ones I just mentioned. But often you can tell when someone is not feeling well. This information is also covered in the Darkness to Light Stewards of Children 2.0 training as well. Let's say your child has been appearing anxious lately. Appears to be feeling tense, fidgety, can't sit still, not sleeping, or maybe waking up in the middle of the night. Maybe gets angry easily. I'm not saying all these signs are directly connected to child sexual abuse. However, they could be. What you need to do is talk to your child, try to find out what is causing the anxiety, sleeplessness, being tense or fidgety, or maybe increased anger. Hopefully your child is comfortable speaking with you. If not, you have some homework to do. All children should feel safe in speaking to their parents or guardians or caregivers. If your child is afraid of you, afraid to go to you, when they have a problem, then you have a huge problem. I'm not going into the parent-child relationship too much right now, but I will be glad to provide you information on this topic. It can be resolved, but y'all are going to have to work together. Email me at csapreventionbyzena@gmail.com or get help from somewhere. Please repair your relationship with your child. A healthy parent-child relationship is a key factor in keeping your children of all ages safe. Okay, I'm going to say you and your child have a good, healthy relationship, and y'all communicate well as parent and child. Not a best friend type of relationship, but parent and child. You know, you're still correcting and guiding your child through life, but in a respectful way. I'm going to read you something again. It's from the Darkness to Light Stewards of Children 2.0 Training Workbook, page 28. So listen closely. When we see any of the signs of distress in a child, sexual abuse has to be something we consider. Rather than label, punish, or simply manage the child, we can reach out with sensitivity and patience and ask about what's bothering them. Signs don't always mean sexual abuse. The signs can be a reason to take more interest in the child. Okay, and that was, like I said, on page 28 of the Darkness Delight Stewards of Children 2.0 Training Workbook. And don't forget, you can go to, it's D, the letter D, and then the number 2, and then the letter L, d2l.org. That's the actual website for Darkness Delight. I'm encouraging to go on there, plunder around. They have some great information. Okay, so some suggestive questions to ask your child about some physical problems I recently mentioned are, I noticed you haven't been sleeping well. Is there something or someone bothering you? You seem so angry lately. Has something or someone made you upset or made you angry? You've been having a lot of headaches lately. Is something or someone stressing you? Maybe causing your headaches or stomach aches? And again, these questions probably need to be altered a little bit based on the developmental age of the child. What you're doing by asking your child these questions is letting them know you are concerned and you care about them. You can also follow up your questions by telling your child, you can always come to me and tell me anything. Even if you're unsure about something, you can come to me and we'll talk about it. I'm here for you. Basically, acknowledge the problem the child is having and gently ask the child about it. Now, yes, you may need to adjust your questions, some based on the age of your child, like I previously mentioned. Keep it simple. Don't accuse anyone of anything. Remember, there are a number of reasons your child may be exhibiting these signs, one of which could be child sexual abuse. Let's say you've asked your child questions about their physical problems mentioned earlier, and your child says nothing's going on. They're not upset about anything or anyone. Everything is fine. Do you change your tone and dig in harder and deeper with the questioning? No. Here's what you need to do. Do not press on with 10,000 more questions and insist you know something is not right and they have to tell you now. That's a wrong move. The more you push with questions, the more likely your child's going to shut down and not say anything. As mentioned earlier, tell your child, I'm here if you decide later you want to talk. Later can mean later that same day or days from now. Keep that little communication door cracked open between you and your child. Moving forward, make it a habit daily to take a few minutes and ask how your child is doing. What was good about your day? What was not so good about your day? Just general conversation and remind them, I'm here if you need me. Yeah, you're communicating now. They may have something to tell you a few days after your initial conversation, or maybe later. You never know. And sometimes kids will begin telling bits and pieces of something bothering them to see your initial response. How you respond was discussed in the previous episode. Keep in mind, whatever may be troubling your child could be a number of things. Could be a bully at school, loss of a loved one, a pet, parents splitting up, parents getting remarried. It could even be a brand new baby brother or sister in their home. A new sibling is a lot for a child to adapt to, especially a child who has been an only child. After the newness of the new sibling wears off, the now older child may be feeling left out on many things because that new little person demands and requires attention from the parents, who are naturally utterly exhausted. Let's say there have been no changes in the home environment. It's stable. All is good. If they are of school age, and this could be any child in school, maybe there is a change with school staff. Maybe your child's teacher has retired or left suddenly, possibly through a medical problem, or their school counselor may have left. Most schools notify parents, as they should, in advance of staff changes involving their school children so parents can help their children adjust to the change. Think about this. Maybe the school counselor your child has been visiting with several times a week has left and a new school counselor was hired. The new school counselor may be awesome. However, your child and the previous school counselor may have had a great rapport. There are so many reasons why a child of any age may exhibit physical problems like headaches, sleeplessness, anxiety, chronic stomach aches, feeling tense, fidgety, and more. These indicators of a possible problem could be from a change in their environment, at home or school, or another place they frequent. Keep this thought in mind. All of those physical problems could also be a sign of child sexual abuse. I cannot stress enough to keep the door of communication open with your child. You want to be the go-to person if your child has a problem and wants to talk, or if something super good happens and they want to share it with you. Please make time to speak with and listen to your child. Listening is key to relationship building. Don't put it off. Listen to your baby today. Even if your baby is taller than you, you listen. Any age, you listen. Thank y'all so much for clicking on my podcast today. I hope in some way these podcasts are helping you. Just so you'll know, I'm used to running around a room full of people speaking face-to-face about child sexual abuse, and not online. The podcast world is totally new to this older gal. This microphone is not very engaging. Bear with me as I navigate through trying to improve these podcasts. Part of the improvement to this podcast is hearing from you, the listener. You can email me at csapreventionbyzena@gmail.com and offer suggestions. It takes a lot to rattle my cage. You will not hurt my feelings. Oh, and don't forget about our new Facebook group called Child Sexual Abuse Prevention by Zena. All of our current published podcasts will be obtainable through the Facebook group, as well as general information on child sexual abuse and child sexual abuse prevention, which we will continue to add. We will also be adding information on improving parent-child relationships. Remember, if you and your child don't communicate now, do you think they'll come to you with a problem? Kind of slim. You may have some information you would like to share that could benefit others in protecting children of all ages from pedophiles. You can add it to our group as well. You're also welcome to use Messenger to reach out to me if you don't want to use your email address. We want you to feel comfortable and safe, so we've made the Facebook group private. You can also post anonymously in the group, ask questions, request information for us to look up for you, and more. Like I've said before, regardless of whether you're getting your information on child sexual abuse prevention from me or someone else, just get it. Be a sponge and absorb as much information as possible to better protect our children. And honestly, any children. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you all for wanting to learn more and to take care of our babies.
Don't forget me say. I'm really busy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.